Yeah, that's it. Even more.
You're listening to 2 Cents Radio with Rob, Nico, and Nick. This is episode 374 for March 9th, 2024. Hi, everybody. I'm Rob.
This is Nico.
Nick here.
It's been almost a month since we've seen everybody.
Well, and we are just a month away.
Oh, that's right. We are a month away.
From our big day.
4 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. I have nothing to wear. I need to pack. I was going to say that we made it just in time for March Madness and the next bracket that we're doing. So
isn't
that exciting?
We're not doing a bracket right before the eclipse.
All right, I'll make you a deal, Nico. We'll do the bracket as long as you plan every bit of it.
Okay, no.
Because I know how much free time you have right now.
Pass. Yep. I thought you were going to say plan the eclipse trip, in which case, no. I'm showing up to the airport with like a little tote bag and hoping for the best. I have nothing planned.
I'm running out of here. The eclipse is my excuse to just run away from my problems.
Nice.
That's how I'm treating it.
Run into Nick's loving arms.
Exactly.
And his problems.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I will gladly hand them over.
Which there are plenty, yes.
We'll do a brief overview. We all know the eclipse is on the Monday. I hope you've taken your time off, booked your flights,
April 8th.
Train tickets. Yeah, Monday, April 8th.
April 8th.
Be flexible. We're going to plan for Cincinnati, but plan to go north, plan to go west.
Rob and I are arriving in Cincinnati that weekend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And hanging out in Cincinnati.
Yep.
And occasionally letting people know where we're going to be.
Yeah. Right. We'll be active on the socials.
On the Discord.
We will create a private Discord group.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
The week before.
Yeah,
with everybody who's coming. So again, just be sure to like message me directly on Discord if you're coming.
I like the idea of making it private because that way the weirdos can't know where we are. But
right.
The question is, what if a weirdo infiltrates the private Discord?
Well, if they're coming to see us, I'm sorry to say they're a weirdo.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So who protects us from the people actually coming?
Also, they could just say they're coming and they're in. Like, I'm not going to police this. I'm not going to be like, show me your passport and your plane tickets.
Background
like,
check, please.
But if you want to know, okay, how about this? If you want to know what we're doing,
right,
let me know and I'll just add you to the group. And,
yeah, there
you know,
we go. Yeah, we'll give you an itinerary. Rob will give you the code to his hotel room.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rough plans. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to ask as well. If you're going to ask, oh, where's a good hotel? I don't have a clue. I live here. I've never stayed at a hotel here.
Right.
So I'm sorry. But yeah, we're going to plan to be flexible. Go west or go north. And
if you're
we're
kind of on the outskirts of Cincinnati, that's probably going to give you the most flexibility, don't you think? On like the west side of Cincinnati.
The most flexibility. I don't know. I don't know if we should be thinking in those terms.
I think what will give you the most flexibility is having a vehicle.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Right.
And so just plan for that or plan to find somebody who has a vehicle.
No, we're going to have a meetup the night before in Cincinnati. That's a fact. Or the day before. We shouldn't do it like 2 days before. It should be like the day before, right?
The plan is, so Sunday, Nico, Rob, and I are planning on getting some Reds tickets. They're playing the Mets at like 1:40 p.m. So we're planning on getting tickets. If you want to get tickets, go for it. Mm. After the game, we're planning on meeting up at a brewery.
Right.
We will let you know in the Discord specifically.
We'll firm up maybe on the podcast next week. We'll firm it up.
Yeah.
Once we know we're definitely getting the tickets and we're going, you know.
Yeah.
But we're probably going to meet up. There's a few breweries in the area.
Yeah.
There's Ryan Geist. There's 50 West. There's Mad Tree. We'll figure something out.
I think maybe what we do is we have the brewery thing set in stone and then everything else can be loosey goosey.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
like that should be the one thing where it's like, all right, we saw each other. Good.
Yeah.
Have fun looking at the sun.
but those people that come to the brewery, I'm assuming, are the same people that want to hang out with us during the eclipse.
Yeah, sure. But I just want to make sure that people have like that we have like a thing the night before.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Just so like it's a, you know, we know where everybody's here and who everybody is and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the eclipse, we're going to just try to find a good spot. We're going to, it's really going to be weather dependent. So we're not going to make that call.
That's the problem.
We're probably not going to make the call as to where we're going to go until the day before. So those of you at the meetup will probably tell you this is our plan.
That's the gimmick. It's the, it's the eclipse planning the, the weather map event at the local brewery. Yes.
Because that morning, even we'll be looking at radar, looking at, satellite images of cloud cover, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And seeing which way we're going to have to go.
Right.
Right. Rob has also purchased a bunch of glasses, right?
Yes. Yes. I have 20 pairs of glasses.
So if you have not planned, we can help you on that front.
Now,
for a small fee of $150, as they're going for on eBay.
I'm glad I told you to get them when I did, because you got them pretty cheap.
Yeah,
and also,
I got.
You were in Nebraska, so I figured they'd just be cheaper for you in general.
Well, yeah, I got them off of Amazon, and I think it was only like $37.
Yeah, problem is they're made out of cowhide, so that's the only.
Yeah, pretty much. And I had to make sure that they were the safety standard required for sun viewing.
I'm not entirely sure why we need the glasses still, but I'm going to trust everybody on this.
You don't have to use them.
Okay.
I'm not your dad.
Okay. I want to get to the bottom of this. What don't you understand?
Well, I just feel like once it's blocked out, I don't need the glasses anymore.
That is correct.
Right.
You don't.
It's for the time before and the time after.
But I don't care about the time before and after. I just care about the thing.
You do. You're supposed to wear the glasses to watch until it happens.
The countdown clock, essentially. Like,
but it's also, it looks really cool as it's happening, just as much as it does when it's happening.
Does it, though?
No. It is 10,000 times better in totality than it is when it's happening.
But it's still 10,000 times better than normal life.
Because I did it outside of the totality the last time. I think I was in New York or something the last time that it happened. And I had the glasses on and it was just like, oh, there's a crescent going over another crescent.
Correct.
And it's like tiny.
What really gets interesting is, you're watching that moon creep right in front of the sun. And then it's that moment of the diamond ring of when the last little bit of the sun is shining around like craters of the moon. And you still need your glasses for that because you're still blinded by the sun, even though it's 99.9% covered. And then that diamond ring goes away and you can take your glasses off.
Got it. Okay. All right. So we do need the glasses then is what you're telling
me.
We
do.
Yeah.
Fucking Copernicus over here.
Didn't you just get brand new eyes like last year? Don't you want to protect those peepers?
I did. They're brand. They still got that new eye smell on them. They're brand new. Yeah.
I have been too scared to rub my eyes since I had surgery in June.
Yeah. I had that for a year too.
Oh my God.
I'll just take sandpaper to my corneas. I don't care.
God, I just. I'm just so careful. I'm always like it's corners of my eye and just never
the
rub.
Showering. I showered with goggles for a year. Like it was because, you look it up online. What exactly is the surgery that they did? And then you learn about the cornea flap or whatever. And you realize that there's just a slit hanging out on your eyeball.
Yeah.
Just loosey goosey. And I'm like, I'm not touching this. You know what I mean? So. It's tough, but it's great. Vision is good. Okay, so I will wear the glass. I'll wear the eclipse glasses.
Yep.
We have a deal
on
that.
And I got, as a freebie in each of the pack of 10 that I bought, was like a cell phone cover, like a piece for your cell phone to go over the camera of your cell phone. But I call bullshit on that. I don't think you're going to be able to take good pictures even with that.
You got, what, one of them or how many?
There's two. I got two 10 packages, and each 10 package came with a cell phone thingy. Okay. So I'm gonna bring it along. We'll try it.
That's
cool. We're literally gonna have hours sitting there as the moon goes in front of the sun.
How long does it last for?
Well, the totality itself is gonna be less than 4 minutes. It's like three minutes and 58
seconds. Well, it depends where
we
are in the path, right? The closer to the center, the longer it is.
Correct. Closer, not so much that way. It's even location based. So I think Texas is the longest, and once you get up to Maine, it's the shortest.
Got it.
But yeah, we'll be sitting there. It'll start. I think a couple hours. You see the first point of the moon slipping over the sun. Uh-huh. So it's a couple hours. And I think it's happening at 3 p.m. local time.
Yeah. Is that the totality?
Yes.
Yeah. So we really want to get to where we're going at like 2 o'clock or 2:30, maybe.
Mm-hmm. We need to know where we're going pretty early.
You're gonna think I'm crazy. We need to find a spot by noon.
Oh, goodness. Are we packing lunches?
We're going to have to pack lunches.
We're going to have to bring the
sounds like we're bringing some brewskis.
Yeah.
Bring some chairs. I'm planning on bringing some
lawn chairs. Yeah. You got lawn chairs, Nick?
I have two giant wooden unfoldable Adirondack chairs. How does that sound?
Find some lawn chairs. I'll see what I can find on my end here.
Okay, yeah, the stoop ones, the foldable ones you used to take to Little League or whatever, right?
Those yeah.
things, yeah.
Yeah, those yeah. bag chairs.
Yeah. I haven't been to a Little League game in a minute.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
I think we're going to bring the mobile, the portable, right? The
correct.
The recorder. Yep. Yeah, we're going to have to do that. So it's going to be a nice long pod from the middle of a field.
Yeah. I'm just the things that I'm reading, and I was looking at like some smaller towns around Indianapolis and Cincinnati and how they're letting school out. They're expecting a lot of traffic in the country roads. I'm just seeing things like that where it's like, all right, we need to have a spot fairly early.
I buy it.
We need to have a good idea of where we're going. Like by 8, 9 o'clock that morning, and by noon we need to have some place picked out.
Well, I think by noon we need to be there, right? Is that what
correct.
You're saying?
Correct. Yeah. By Hanging noon, we need
assuming
to-
that the weather doesn't change between 8 o'clock and noon, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But that's also what you have to kind of look for in the morning and see which way storms are pathing, and there's a lot
it's gonna
of
be
moving
El
parts.
Nino in Ohio that day, dude. It's gonna be like
there's just a fucking nationwide storm.
It's gonna be Twister too, dude.
Yeah,
it's gonna be something. It's gonna be interesting.
Listen, sitting in a field with you guys in the middle of Indiana doesn't sound like the worst afternoon of the world, though.
No,
you know? Yeah.
Part of me hopes we can just go to a close by local park.
Yeah.
But
what's we'll close by? To... There's no close by though, because it's not going through Cincinnati.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we still have to go north quite a way.
Yeah, north or west.
And then I think you guys are also going to think I'm crazy, but if we're north or west of Cincinnati by a long ways, I probably leave for home right from the end of the eclipse.
Ooh, that's a tough beat for my friend Rob.
I know.
Oh.
I'll probably drive part of the way home.
Oh, you could stay
at night.
That's true. Yeah, you can stay on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured I'd get something in like western or eastern Iowa.
Are you? You weren't going to stay any longer. You were just going to leave that day.
Yeah, I've got to get back for work. I just don't have a ton of time off of work.
Fair. All right.
So I'm trying to keep that at a minimum.
That's another thing for those of you who can swing it. It might be worth. Taking a half day or something at least the next day or you know, kind of giving yourself a little extra buffer time. But by now, if you haven't bought plane, if you're flying.
Oh, I mean, no, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
You're committed now. But if you're driving and if you can afford to take like a half day or give yourself a little extra wiggle room just to travel.
Yeah,
I would do it.
Yeah,
I think Nico's staying a few extra days in Cincinnati.
I'm there for a month. I'm a foreign exchange student with Nick.
I would love it. It's not that I wouldn't love to stay, but part of me is like, if we're that far west and we have a way for you guys to get back home, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
it's
well,
just, there's just so many things. There's so many moving parts to this day that we all have to be ready to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is why we're being kind of cagey, and we've been cagey with the details, and that's not out of a lack of planning, although we haven't planned really. It's out of a lack of knowledge.
What is there to plan for?
There's
so many things that can change a whole day's worth of plans that, it's tough. It's just tough.
Yeah. But the brewery thing's definitely happening, and we will get you a specific location and time. We can be very specific about the location and time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of want to just double check with some breweries that they don't have like events going on or something.
Right.
Where it's not already going to be crazy busy. Because it is going to be the Sunday before the eclipse. Like there are going to be a lot of people having a similar idea.
Lots of podcasts all together in one.
Yeah.
So we'll get you a firmer idea on that soon.
I just don't. Here's the problem that I'm having is I don't know. Do you plan for bumper to bumper traffic all the way in the path of the eclipse?
So
because that was not the experience that I had. But I'm also admitting the fact that my experience that I had was in the middle of Nebraska.
Yes. Right. Nick's cousin, my friend Jimmy, who went 7 years ago to the last one, told me.
Where did he go?
He went to North Carolina.
North Kakalaki.
Kakalaki. Love it. So he went through, was it Charlotte? I don't know. It was a major city. Mm-hmm. And I forget where in North Carolina it went through. But he said his experience was that the traffic was not that bad, actually negligible coming in. It was normal flow of traffic. Coming out was a disaster, though.
Ah.
Because everybody was kind of staggering and picking their own location and going early at different times, but everybody was leaving at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how it's going to be in Ohio and Indiana or whatever, but, you know. Because he was part in fairly urban areas, I think. I don't think it was totally
Yeah, part rural. Of me, my instincts say going north would be better.
I agree.
Because west is Indianapolis.
Right.
That's a much bigger city than Cincinnati. North is Dayton.
Right.
Which is a much smaller city. So my instincts say that.
I was really kind of looking. That's why I had picked out, what was that town that I'd sent you? Greenville, Ohio?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I'd have to fact check.
But I was looking at like little events that were going on in smaller towns. Like I was thinking if we could find a park or something in a small town, that would be really ideal. And so that's why I'd kind of picked Greenville. It's close to the center. It's a smaller town. It had a hotel available. I don't know. Like, is it pretty flat out there? Is it hilly? Like,
It's pretty flat, but I don't know if it's flat by like Nebraska standards. I don't know. But like, I mean, we get tornadoes.
Yeah.
Flat
enough for that. Yeah. There's just so many things that can go wrong that day.
Well, I don't know about go wrong. It's just, we just can't, if we're super rigid, things will go wrong.
Right. Yeah. So. That's a fair point.
Quick recap. Bring chairs, bring lunch, plan to meet us at the brewery.
Yep.
Make sure you let us know that you want to be added to that Discord chat.
Yep.
And be flexible. Have a car and we'll all meet up somewhere and have a good time.
But we are definitely going to go meet the Mets, right, that day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think so. I think right after this podcast, let's buy our tickets.
Meet the Mets.
And I don't know, guys.
The Mets.
I don't think we all need to hang out at the Mets game necessarily, but I do think that I'm looking here at the 400s. It's a big section. It's about, you know, about a third of the way around the park, and it's just one of the three balconies. But I think somewhere in the 400s might be where we buy tickets.
Is that opening weekend? Is that the first game of the year? Or first weekend of the year?
I don't think so.
Okay. It starts in April now, I think, yeah. Yeah, it's the second week, but cool. Yeah,
yeah, it starts in March, you mean, right?
In March, yes, in late March.
March 28th, yeah, so it's their second round of games, it looks like. A third. Yeah, what is it, Nationals, Phillies?
Oh, it's
Mets.
Matt McClain City Connect Bobblehead Day.
It is. It is. Now, if you're not a Matt McClain guy... They do have a game on Saturday as well for the Jake
I'm more
Fraley.
Of a John McClane guy.
I was just going to say, was he at the Nakatomi Plaza?
Does he have a machine gun now?
Does he say things like yippee-ki-yay and motherfucker?
Maybe the first one.
Did he come to the coast to have a couple laughs?
Should we do some movie talk for dummies, as you put it?
What? No, we're done. We're done with everything.
I think.
I'm still figuring out if I'm getting a hotel or not. I gotta talk to you about it. I know you've opened your home to me, and it's very nice of you. But I don't know. I might get a hotel. I'm not sure.
All good.
Are you getting a hotel, Rob?
Yeah.
Did you get a hotel already?
I haven't yet. No, okay. But
maybe
I will
talk off air about which ones. Okay.
There to me when I looked this week, there's plenty of options.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Okay. Yeah, you want to do Oscar stuff? The Oscars are this Sunday, guys.
I cannot believe that they're this week already. Like,
yeah. If you've been watching the award shows, you will not say that. You'll be like, oh, finally the Oscars are this week.
I didn't even know that there were award shows on. Like, literally, I've missed everything.
I have watched every single one. I've watched enough for all three of us and a couple extra people. I watched the SAGs, watched the Critics' Choice, watched the Grammys and the Emmys and the Globes and the Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh, yeah. The only reason I knew about the Emmys is because Ray Seahorn got screwed again.
That's right.
By a fucking show that is never going to last the test of time. But
What beat it?
Yeah, what beat it?
I don't remember.
Oh, no, Succession beat it.
No, oh, yeah.
It's the show's going to be around great. For a while. You crazy.
Succession's not going to last.
Well, it's over. So,
nobody's going to talk about Succession in the future.
I don't think that's true.
The three of us in a treehouse in 30 years will be talking about Better Call Saul. So that's exactly. At least three people talking about it. All six people that watched it as it was airing. Nick wanted a little primer on what movies he should be watching in preparation for the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the Best Picture list, and wow. I've heard of two of these.
Good. Barbie and Oppenheimer?
Yep. Yeah.
You probably should have heard of a little more than I don't know how you avoided seeing ads for Poor Things.
I've never heard of Poor Things.
That is insane.
Never heard of Poor Things.
Zone of Interest didn't catch your eye, Rob, about the Nazis.
I've never seen anything about this.
Anatomy of a Fall didn't appear in your French periodicals that you get in the mail every month.
Missed that one too.
You weren't reading
Marty's,
up on.
Oh
Marty's
my
film?
God! Is that really a French movie? I see the poster.
It's a movie about a French courtroom, and it turns out the French courtroom is nuts. It's crazy, dude. There's like no like procedure in French courtrooms. They all kind of just like get in a circle and they just talk it out.
Oh my
God. Like there's no like cross examination. You could just like interject whenever you want.
Well, I think that's what happens when you behead all of your leaders.
That's right. Made up for the movie.
No, I think that's actually how it goes.
That's insane.
So the premise of the movie, I don't think I'm spoiling anything. This happens in the first 10 minutes, is a man falls out of a window, his third story window of his house.
And his wife did it.
And people suspect that his wife did it. And the movie is about either proving her innocence or guilt. And they speculate, because she's an author, they speculate on whether or not she did it based on what she wrote in her book.
Oh, it's like that real life guy. What the fuck was his name? It's a Netflix documentary where his wife fell down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. The staircase.
The staircase.
Yeah.
Staircase.
Oh, that's from like the 70s. Yeah. They've done that like five times, right? The staircase.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done like five different miniseries.
It's insane. And there's the documentary on Netflix.
Also a French miniseries, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's French. Maybe it's based on this. Yeah, maybe. So it's about... But the courtroom scenes are great, but they're, like, wild. It's like, due process, anyone? Anybody ever kicked that idea around, maybe? Conjecture? Is that not a word that exists in the French lexicon? Yeah, I think you'd like it, Nick. It's a little slow, though, and it's a little French.
How French is it? Like, how much are you reading?
Oh, it's the whole thing.
She speaks Jesus English Christ. Intermittently. There's a little bit of English.
That's nice.
Yeah. Intermittent nice. English.
Yes. That's nice. That's okay. Just what I want to watch.
You get a respite every now and again, but it's mostly French. You know that. So that one is good.
I've seen posters for The Holdovers. I have not heard anything about it.
Best movie of the year, besides Oppenheimer, I think.
It's very good. It's very good. It's very good.
It brings me so much joy.
Because this is the guy that does most of his movies out of Omaha, isn't it?
That's right. Alexander. He's the one that made Nebraska, yeah.
Yep.
Which is, the great movie about Nebraska.
Oh, it is. It's timeless classic.
How many great Nebraska movies are there?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
I'm trying to think of one that even takes place in Nebraska.
Movies.
Better Call Saul. for a little bit.
I search it. It's all Alexander Payne movies. Election about they're all Alexander Payne. Yeah. Citizen Ruth.
We talked about dance. We went by the Dances with Wolves thing. Was that in South Dakota?
That was South Dakota. Yeah.
South Dakota. Yep.
Dumb and Dumber takes place in Nebraska.
Part of it does.
Yeah.
Really?
Children of the Corn.
Oh.
That's all Nebraska?
That's Nebraska, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I always thought that was Ohio.
I have never seen a Children of the Corn movie.
That's why those kids were staring at me on the way in.
Dude, yeah. The vibe is much more Ohio in that movie.
Is this?
I think so. I truly do.
My introduction to Nebraska, though, was the, you know, the gates of hell opening up and raining fury upon the land.
The slightest thunderstorm I've ever experienced.
There's something about a storm when you can see every lightning bolt for 1,000 miles well, in every that's direction.
True. That is true. That's the most. I wish you were here for a good one. I really do wish you were here for a good one.
I don't know how your roof doesn't just go flying off your house, Rob. It's
how a witch starts pedaling on her bicycle, you know?
Yeah.
So the Holdovers does not take place in Nebraska, although it's a nice crowd pleaser, right, Nick? It's a good. I think Rob would like that movie.
It's like, while I feel like Oppenheimer is the best movie of the year, The Holdovers feels like the best movie of the decade. You know what I mean?
It's
a warm blanket of a movie. It's really comfortable.
Really is.
And nice. Yeah. She's going to win. Divine Joy Randolph is going to win Best Supporting Actress.
She should.
Paul Giamatti might win Best Actor, but probably not.
It's just tough because he's up against Cillian. And
yes.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
And then, yeah. So, I would definitely watch that. Killers of the Flower Moon. If you have 7 hours to kill, you can watch that.
Oh, my God. Is it really that long?
It's 3.5.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it's Scorsese, ridiculous. And it's, I don't know, man. I always feel weird about Scorsese films. I don't tend to love them as much as I feel like I'm supposed to. But this one has me more excited than I have been in a while.
Okay, and I think you will be severely disappointed. Okay. Because I think Adam and I have overhyped it to you because we're two losers, and I don't.
No, it had
think...
nothing to do with you guys. I watched the ads, and I was just like,
right?
On the
no,
end.
The ads are not a reflection of what it is.
No,
that's
upsetting.
It is because I think it's sold because the book was a noirish murder mystery, and the trailer kind of presents that there's going to be some kind of, you know, mysteries.
You think so? I thought it was like pretty just action packed.
Oh, well, okay. If you think that, it's not that either, my friend.
Is it just slow?
It's about the banality of evil. It's about how people do evil things without even thinking about it, basically. Hmm. So yeah, it's in my opinion. Yeah. It's that and Oppenheimer, like 1 and 1A. It's right there.
But, well, I'll watch it in 3 parts.
Okay. Watch it as a TV show.
Yeah.
I say this every year.
Yes, sir.
But how do these pictures represent the year of movies?
You don't think Barbie and Oppenheimer represent the year in movies?
Yeah, they probably do. Those are the best representations of the movies of the year.
Yeah.
But it used to be Best Picture was a list of movies. I don't know how long it ever was, but you'd only have one or two that you'd never heard of before.
Yes, right.
And now it's a list of movies where you're lucky to know one or two. It's just not an accurate representation of the state of movies.
Which, you are correct, because movies don't matter anymore. And that is more a reflection of the lack of audiences going to movies than it is the... I don't think that the movies that are nominated are that much different than they were in the 90s. I just think people saw more of these movies in the 90s than now.
But people don't give a shit because of shit like this. It's like a never-ending circle, vicious circle of doom.
I don't know if it's a circle. I think it's a one-way street on this one.
I think we just had the same conversation last year. But like let's see how much Dances with Wolves made. That movie, to be honest, is boring as shit.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
Okay, but it won a lot of Oscars. It beat Goodfellas that year, okay?
Huge
movie.
Bullshit.
It made $424 million.
Yeah.
you can't tell me that, like, fucking Maestro is much more boring than Dances with Wolves, or is much less, like, commercially viable than Dances with Wolves. It's just that people were interested in Dances with Wolves in 1990. The Oscar movie has not changed that much.
Well, I do think that they've made a stronger effort over the past 10 years or so to do more foreign films.
That's true. Yes.
So I think that would be the major change I would note. Like, so obviously Past Lives and Anatomy of a Fall, would those have been?
Well, Past Lives is an American film with some foreign language in there, but it's an American production.
Do you think they would have been
Meryl Streep
nominated for Best Picture 10 years ago?
No, no.
They certainly would not have,
no,
I think.
No, but neither would Barbie, though.
Barbie
wouldn't have either. You know, yeah. Oppenheimer would have. Oppenheimer is an old school, like, historical biopic. But, like,
American Fiction would have, for sure.
American Fiction definitely would have, yes. Maestro would have, yes. Poor Things, kind of, maybe.
Poor Things feels kind of like...
Poor Things has a lot of sex in it, guys.
Does it?
A lot of sex and nudity. Can I explain the premise to you of Poor Things?
Absolutely. Please ruin the movie for me.
Emma Stone plays a woman that commits suicide, jumps off the side of a bridge. And this mad scientist, played by Willem Dafoe, rescues the body. And the body still has, like, a pulse, but she's basically dead. So what he says is, you know what, I could let this woman die, or I could do a little science experiment, because this woman also happens to be pregnant. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the brain out of the baby and implant it into the body of the woman. And the next 2.5 hours is you watch this grown woman, essentially played by Emma Stone the entire time, go from baby to fully fledged prostitute. And that's the film. That's the film. She has a lot of sex in it. And sometimes you're like, are people having sex with a baby in this? Because she has a baby's brain. So it's kind of odd.
Yeah, that sounds like,
you know.
That does sound like pedophilia, when you put it like that.
In a sense.
What the fuck kind of movie is that?
This is a movie that I've been, like, actively avoiding. I didn't know it was that much. I did not know the premise. But watching the ads, right. I was like, I don't think this movie is for me. And now I feel more justified in that thought. What the fuck? This is a Disney film, basically.
It is. It's on Disney Plus.
No, it's not.
It's on the little Hulu section, but yeah, it is.
Not.
It's on Disney Plus.
It's technically a Hulu.
And you got to have the adult settings or whatever, but it's on Disney Plus.
Holy shit. I'm selling my Disney stock now. That company is doomed.
Dude, buy. No, you have to buy. You don't think you understand how it works.
Fucking
yeah,
hell.
No, I was ready because I knew it was like a mad scientist, like Frankenstein's monster kind of thing. I was ready for all of that. What I was not ready for is that she just has sex with people the whole movie.
Well, I didn't know she had a baby's brain.
She has baby's brain.
That's a pretty big...
Right. But the whole thing is, like, she's got a baby's brain but a woman's body. So it's like she realizes that she can have an orgasm really, really young, you know, respective to her brain, you know.
Great.
So that's the whole thing is, like, what if, you know.
What if babies can have orgasms? Is that the premise of the film?
It kind of is.
And shocker that Disney's the one to explore that question.
I'm glad they're asking the tough questions.
Fucking shit.
Wow. I'm sure the movie presents itself in a much more defendable light.
No.
Okay.
No, it's fine. No, no, listen, it's tough to watch sometimes. It's pretty, you know, but I don't know. It's weird. It's Yorgos Lanthimos, who is a weird Greek man who made the movies Killing of a Sacred Deer and Dogtooth and The Lobster. The Favorite was another one.
The Lobster?
Yes, he made The Lobster, yes.
I watched that movie, and I sort of liked it, but I watched it on a plane, and I feel like it was a perfect plane movie.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't want to be in a place I can't escape watching that movie. Like, trapped in the air, like, you know? Remember, they kick a dog to death in that movie. I didn't enjoy that very much.
The thing about being on a plane is it's such a miserable experience.
Right.
That it doesn't take much to make that experience better. You know what I mean? I feel like the bar is actually lower for me.
Oh, interesting.
So I can watch, like, movies that kind of suck. But on a plane, I'm like, hey, it's something. At least I'm not staring at the back of this guy's seat in silence.
All right, let me give you some. Give me another one, Nick. Or Rob. You got the list in front of you?
Oh, I got the list, yeah.
Yeah.
The Zone of Interest. Did we talk about that one?
The Zone of Interest is a movie about the Commandant of Auschwitz.
But oh, yeah, you did mention the Hitler thing earlier.
It is not about his work in the concentration camp, because the movie is shot entirely at his home on the other side of the wall at the concentration camp.
I kind of remember hearing about this movie now that you point this out.
This is like the regular life of a Nazi.
It's like, and it's shot in this digital photography, and it's the cameras are stationary. It is shot like Big Brother, basically. It looks like a reality show. It's very modern looking. The lighting is very naturalistic. So it is the experience essentially of going to a museum and looking at the Holocaust through a modern lens. And you're watching this family just have these very modern, like, you know, arguments about, oh, I didn't want to move. I like it here. And I have a nice garden. And don't you like my greenhouse? And meanwhile, you hear shrieking and the train coming in and the gas chambers going off and the incinerators. And that's all in the sound design. You don't actually see it.
And I did not know you could hear that.
Oh,
that
you can hear it. Yeah, you can hear it. And I think if I were voting in the Oscars, I would give this movie best sound design because the sound is incredible.
Wow.
But if the sound was not in it.
Is it nominated for sound?
Yes, it is. If the sound wasn't in it, you wouldn't know.
You don't think they're going to give that to Oppenheimer as well, though?
They are. Oppenheimer's going to get everything. But because Christopher Nolan like recorded everything in like a tin can. And said, here, make it work, you know?
He like invented new sound waves. Like,
yeah. Nolan's whole thing is he doesn't do ADR, which is the after dialogue repair. Is that what it is? It's when you go in the studio afterwards and you clean up. If the mic doesn't pick up a piece of dialogue, you have the actor come in and re-record. He refuses to do that. He says all the dialogue that we're going to use in the movie has to be recorded on set. So it was a mess. The sound was an absolute mess.
I like that. Yes. That's it. That's a true movie maker right there.
Yeah.
ADR is awful. Like it never fails to be awful. The best you can do is make it barely noticeable.
I went to work on Friday and it was great.
Right. It never works. I know, because I edit podcasts and I sometimes try to end one sentence into another sentence. To remove something in the middle, and it never sounds good.
No, forget it. Yeah. So that's that movie. I would say, again, not really crowd pleaser, the Zone of Interest, although I found it very interesting.
That'd be a hard movie to watch.
Tough one.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Past Lives, I said Nick. It's about a
maestro.
Asian woman that misses Asia. It's a good Nick movie, I think, because he's a Japanese man that misses Japan. Maestro is about the life of Leonard Bernstein.
Why do we need to know about the life of Leonard Bernstein?
Because he had one.
We all have one.
You need to know about it. Bradley Cooper plays Leonard Bernstein.
It's just another Bradley Cooper Oscar vehicle.
Yes.
That's what I don't know. This is the thing for me about these Bradley Cooper movies is.
Is Bradley Cooper sucks? I mean,
no, he's clearly a good actor because he keeps getting nominated. But I can't separate the film from Bradley Cooper and Bradley Cooper from the film. And
he's a tryhard. He's a tryhard.
And it always feels like it's always just how many Oscars can we win with this formula?
Yeah, right. He directed this movie too, by the way.
Oh, Jesus.
His follow up to Star is Born,
which was a good movie, right?
Yeah, great movie.
So, like, it's not even that I want to hate him or that I think Maestro is going to be bad, or it's nothing about that. It's just there's.
I can tell you that Maestro is underwhelming.
Yeah.
Because
well, of course it is.
It's like, all right, let's learn about Leonard Bernstein. Why is this guy such a good conductor? And then it's like an hour and a half of his marriage. And it's like, I get it. This is cool. But can I get a little bit of conducting every now and again? Can I see the man pick up a baton? Can you tell me a little bit like why I'm supposed to care about this guy other than he has a complicated marriage?
So tell me this. Did the voting for the Oscar Best Picture happen before or after everybody thought Barbie got screwed at the award ceremony?
It's the same ceremony. It was the Oscar. It was snubbed of certain nominations.
Oh, I see. I thought it was. No, after I the thought it was that they got out. Snubbed at another award ceremony, right. Like.
Which, for the record, it did not get snubbed. It got a lot of Oscar nominations.
That's why I'm thinking that Barbie's going to get it for Best Picture just it because. Because
Hillary Clinton wants it to happen.
Ryan Gosling is probably going to win Best Actor.
He is not.
Do you think?
No.
You don't?
No.
No, I'm sorry. Supporting?
No.
Is he not supporting?
No. Robert Downey Jr. is winning that.
Oh, for Oppenheimer? Yeah. So, okay. Is Margot Robbie going to win?
No, she's not nominated.
So what is Barbie going to win?
Production design.
Okay. Yeah.
Best song. It's going to win best song.
Choreography.
It's not an award, but best.
They should make it one.
Maybe
for Barbie.
Billie Eilish is going to win best song, I think, for the Barbie song. Although Gosling, I think, should win it for I'm Just Ken, which I think is the better song in that movie.
Did he write that?
No, but he's going to perform it. If you're interested,
he
will be singing it. At the
exhausting.
No, Barbie is a fun time.
Oh my god!
No, it's a fun movie. Actually, I think you would be surprised how much you enjoy it.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's pretty fun.
It's okay.
Listen, how many movies are fun nowadays?
I just went through a list of genocide and Holocaust movies.
On the Zone of Interest, it sounds like a lot of fun.
No, if you're into fun movies, Barbie is one of the more fun movies in a while.
Yeah, it's the most fun Best Picture nominee. Yeah.
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 Funny, I don't see the Super Mario Brothers getting any awards this year.
It was snubbed to Best Animated Film, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Was it really? That is a snub, because it was the Best Animated Film of the year.
It is, no, by far one of the worst movies I saw last year.
What?
It is at the bottom of my list.
No. It's a me, Mario.
Literally the best movie to come out in a while.
How many movies have you seen in the past 10 years, Rob?
Read me the best animated film nominees. You have that in front of
Best animated. The Boy and the Heron.
A great film.
Winner.
Masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
Probably not, but it should.
What?
No, probably not.
Elemental.
Terrible movie.
Oh, I couldn't even watch. I couldn't finish it.
It's terrible.
I got 20 minutes in and turned it off.
It's the worst thing Pixar's ever done. It's
absolutely
the worst thing to come after a bouncing lamp. All right. It's terrible. It's so bad. It's about like how like there's like elements in a city and they're racist or something. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. It's
so
awful.
Bad.
They're usually a little better about their metaphor.
It's so bad, Nick. It's like it's unwatchable. I might have Super Mario ahead of that. You know what?
It's no Finding Nemo.
Yeah, no.
No. Nimona?
Fun. It's on Netflix. Pretty good.
I think I watched that one. Yeah.
What's it about?
It's like there's a knight, but it's in like the future.
I did watch this. It was really nice.
Did you say the future?
In the future, Camelot rides in on his trusty steed.
This doesn't look bad. It's a Netflix original.
Yeah.
But I also gotta say, I don't know, maybe it's because I watched it so long ago, fairly forgettable.
Yeah. Yes.
It's disposable. It's nice, made for kids.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's funny. It's good.
And fairly disposable.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Robot Dreams.
Great movie. No one's talking about it, but people should be talking about it. It's
looks like Futurama.
It's old school 2D animation, which I love. I miss that old school animation. And
yeah, that is cool.
It's wordless. There's no. It's about a robot and a dog.
Yep.
And they're best friends, and they lose each other, and it's very sad. But it had me laughing and crying and all sorts of things. I really liked it. Robot Dreams.
And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Which is probably going to win.
Which really? Is probably going to win. And another forgettable movie. Like, I watched this movie. I have no idea what it's about.
I liked it. But for me, what I didn't like is how much it didn't end the movie. It just, like, the movie just stops. And they go, if you want the ending, subscribe to our premium package next year.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
Right, like it wasn't finished. It was an incomplete film.
Right.
So no, if it beats Boy and the Heron, I'll
It probably will.
Didn't the first one win a bunch of awards?
It did.
Okay, so why don't we just like that one was better objectively.
That one was better.
Yes.
Because right. It was a full movie.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. I feel like it would be crazy if they didn't give it to Boy and the Heron. It would be crazy if they didn't give it to Miyazaki's fifth final film. I mean, the guy's almost done.
His seventh swan song.
Right.
But yeah, Elemental. I'm looking at the Elemental page right now. It's terrible.
There's no like bad guy. It's like about it's like a romance, like a Romeo and Juliet romance, but like it's not.
Yeah.
There's like no conflict.
No.
Well, the conflict is that they're different.
Right. It's like one is water and one is fire. And like, can we kiss or not?
Yeah.
That's like the whole thing. And it's like, well, objectively, no, you can't kiss. But then they kind of learn to. It's weird, but it's like that. What
rubber lips? The best line in all of film history, by the way.
What were you saying, Rob?
No, I was gonna say. I suppose the ending of the story is even when they kiss, it takes a little bit of a part of each of them. You know, like
no, it's not that. They just like bend the laws of physics to their will. Yeah,
I figured it would be like, oh, we kiss, and a little of my water boils off, and a little of your fire gets put out.
Right. That's not bad, but that's not what it is.
It's we give up a little bit of a part of ourselves every time we love each other.
Right.
That's the moral. That should have been the moral of the story. Get me a job at Pixar.
Rob comes bouncing in. Here's my resume. No, honestly, you know what? If you want to watch it, just watch Zootopia. Zootopia is a better version of
oh, yeah. I like Zootopia.
Zootopia is a great movie.
They do the same bit. You know your guy, Joe Pera? Nick?
Yeah.
He plays a, I forget, he's like some government agent, and he's in charge of like handing out permits for businesses.
Are you kidding me? They do the same
joke?
It's
the sloth bit. I mean, it's just not as funny. It's the same thing as the sloth, and it's a similar kind of voice, and, you know?
Did not see that.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Pera is a good person to cast for that kind of thing, but it's right. Like...
No, it's like, I've seen this exact joke before. Yeah, no, it's annoying.
It's terrible. Yeah.
So yeah, there's your Oscar guide for dummies this Sunday, yeah. 7 p.m. on ABC. It's an hour earlier than normal.
We didn't say a thing about American Fiction.
It's good. We saw it at TIFF.
Yeah, we saw it at TIFF. Great movie.
Yeah,
it deserves to be up there with the others.
Yeah. It's not going to win anything. No, it's going to win screenplay. It's probably going to win original screenplay.
It's
or adapted
yeah, it's,
screenplay. Adapted.
It's really funny. It's really smart.
Yeah. It's good.
And it's really good. Yeah,
it's really good.
Have we talked since the Super Bowl?
No.
No, we haven't.
No.
Oh, shit. Oh.
I mean, I feel like that's played out already. I mean, Travis yeah. and Taylor are still together. That's good.
That's good. That's good.
Well,
yeah.
As far still as we got, know. She's still got her tour. She's still selling tickets. I mean, they got.
Right. Yeah, I got to milk it.
Well, I think I don't think it's effective for them to break up until the next season starts.
Yeah, maybe, or at least through free agency, maybe. You know, get all the, you know, land all the free agents. Maybe get it through the draft. Maybe put her in the draft room.
What they want the first game to be like, how's Travis going to play?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And you kind of want her input, too, on the team building aspect. You know, she's a great football mind.
It's true.
You kind of want her, you know, kicking around some ideas with the GM. Yeah, you know, it was the Chiefs won. That's a thing that happened because they always do. And that's that, right?
Do we want to talk about the newsworthy things that happened about the suspicious betting?
We're probably far enough out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're probably far enough out. So,
we didn't get the information this year.
Yep. We did.
No, we got the information.
I was going to try to not implicate ourselves.
No, we're implicated. We're fully implicated.
Well, then edit this.
No, I think we leave it in.
No.
Rob, we're supposed to be like, we didn't get it? But yeah, no, we didn't do anything with it because we were too late. We were late.
We were late. We got it too late.
Remember?
Oh. Well, yeah, because okay.
Other people got it. No,
the problem, Rob, is that we got it at the same time as everyone else.
Yeah. Everyone else. We got fucked.
No, we got it. I dropped a little hint on the podcast for those that were paying attention. I hope some of you were. Right? We can say all this. This isn't a big deal.
Okay.
A couple hours go by. I put the episode out. A couple hours go by. I think during the duration of the podcast recording, because it was a pretty long podcast. And then after the podcast was done, it's like, all right, time to put it in. And I go to put it in, and all of a sudden the line on purple had shot down to even money. And yeah. It was 4-1 before, and it became
even
money.
It got down to as low as like -130.
The day of, it was -200.
Oh, my God.
Now, I traced this back. There was a story in the New York Post about this. Some guy tweeted out purple. Some, like, jerk-off on Twitter.
So we got it after the Twitter.
No, we got it before, but the tweet went out between the time we got the tip and we went to place the bet. Or at least Okay. You got it in, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it in time. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still didn't get great. It was, like, +300.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't anything fantastic.
But the leak, it was not our leak. We didn't do anything. It was this guy that on Twitter.
Yeah, true.
That got it.
I just didn't want to implicate ourselves.
We didn't. Yeah. I mean, it's a reliable tip. We have a reliable tip. I don't know what to tell you.
You get a tip. That doesn't mean anything until the Gatorade drops. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. True.
And I don't know how it would have been if the 49ers won. I'm not sure. Because the guy on Twitter claimed that it was going to be purple for both teams.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's outrageous. There's no way.
Right.
Well, I mean, the way it was explained is the teams get the same three colors.
Yeah.
They just use the... It just so happens that both teams save purple for the last day.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. This guy seems like he's making it up. I don't know, though. I don't know. But we had the tip, and it was right, and we didn't capitalize on it. So big fucking whoop. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
Could have made a quick buck that day, and I blew it. And then Nick and I had another bet. We had Chiefs halftime.
Great bet.
Or no, we
great
had the, yeah, Niners halftime, Chiefs to win the game, which has hit,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Prior to this game, it had hit two of the last three times the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. Both times that the Chiefs won, they were trailing at halftime.
But the reason they didn't pay it out was because of the tiebreaker.
Because it went into overtime, they're saying, well, in the fourth quarters, the Chiefs didn't actually win the game.
It was not halftime, full time. It was two quarters, four quarters. So there was an option on the board to bet Niners halftime tie. That was an actual option. You see? So we took the wrong option there. No. If there were only, if that option was not available and it was literally halftime, full time, then that's one thing. But that wasn't the case. So we had a 7-1 bet and it was beautiful and we lost it. Even though we knew Chiefs are going to be trailing at halftime and they're going to win the game because that's what happened.
Yeah, that's kind of dirty.
Yeah. So we lost.
House always wins, guys.
Yeah, house always wins. We lost that one. And Travis did not win MVP, and he did not propose to Taylor, and he did not endorse Joe Biden.
Fuck.
Outrageous. Outrageous.
So, yeah.
Did you see all of the lead up, though? Like, maybe we even talked about this on the show. Like, there were, reports of him shopping for rings. Like, everybody was saying, oh, he's shopping for rings. He's shopping for rings. He's going to propose. He's going to propose.
Well, he's just getting a Super Bowl ring resized.
Yeah, maybe.
He's just preparing for that.
Got to make them smaller so I can fit 5 on one hand.
Running out of fingers here.
Yeah, I'm running out of it. That's right. I'm running out of fingers,
the post,
too, all the money I owe my bookie. I'm running out of fingers.
The Post did have a report on the suspicious betting, and yeah, we have no idea if this guy on Twitter knew what he's talking about.
I don't know how. Yeah, who knows?
The guy for the Post who wrote the report was probably one of the suspicious bettors. Let's be honest.
No,
probably.
I'm worried they're going to take the bet off the board now.
Yeah, I think that this is the last year of the Gatorade.
Last year we see Gatorade.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, they ain't going to do it ever again.
But we were a year ahead. I mean, if they had come to us last year, we could have got this guy at the Post this story a year earlier.
Yeah.
If only anyone listened to this podcast, they, you know, could have got a hot tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was crazy because we got it. We got purple last year at 20-1.
Yeah.
And we got it the morning of.
Night before.
So, yes, we did. I got the tip the night before. We put in the bet at 20-1.
Yeah.
The following morning, I figure, okay, this must have leaked by now if us jerk-offs have the tip.
Yeah.
The odds had went in the other direction.
Yeah.
It went higher. I think it went to like 25 to 1 the next day. So yeah, more money was coming in the other way.
I ended up with a 40 to 1 parlay between Kansas City winning and Purple Gatorade.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I ended up 40 to 1 on that.
Right.
Outrageous.
For a color that had never been poured before in the history of the Super Bowl. Yeah.
That's why I wish I could go back to last year and put $100 or $1,000 on it. I was only willing to bet 10 on our risky fucking tip. Especially when my betting budget is like 50 for the whole Super Bowl.
It's tough, yeah. You gotta really spread that thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the takeaway from that. I lost every bet I had in that stupid fucking game. I had the Niners everywhere.
Oh my god, no, I didn't. Thankfully.
But doesn't it just make you hate the Chiefs?
Oh yeah. I mean,
really, I'm just sick of them, dude. I'm over it.
I had a nice parlay, a 42 to 1 parlay, and it included the hardest leg of it was Christian McCaffrey first touchdown, and it hit.
Wow.
So I figured I got over that hump. Everything else should be good. And I lost that bet by one catch. I needed another Rashee Rice catch, and I needed one more half point on the over under in the game.
Wow.
I lost by that 42 to 1. That's why you don't gamble, kids.
Yeah.
Call the Gamblers Anonymous tip line at I'll just hand out my number. You can just call me. I'll talk you out of it.
I ended up winning about $280 out of the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a good day.
I did all right. Yeah, I did all right. Left it in Bitcoin for a little while. Yeah. Cashed it out.
Look who's riding the wave.
Oh, no. I got out long before it peaked.
Before I got to its all-time high?
Yeah, before it got to the all-time high. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in it for the long haul.
Oh, God. You should have got out.
No. What do you mean?
I knew once it got to like 69,000 that it was never going to go above that.
Giggity, giggity. Will you be wagering on the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight coming to Netflix this summer?
Highly unlikely.
No, you won't be betting on that?
Yeah, highly. I doubt I even care to watch it.
Oh,
I'm torn because on the one hand, like, I don't know. It's cool that all these interesting fights are happening, but I feel like they're happening for the wrong reason.
I will watch if I am assured that they're actually going to fight, which I guess is impossible to know.
Yeah.
But if they're going to actually let Tyson, even though he's 57 years old or whatever.
He's going to kill that motherfucker.
I hope they let him. But what they're going to do, though, is they're going to go out there and they're going to have the pads on and they're going to hug and they're going to like put on a show. If they let him go out there, he will kill him.
Yeah.
And I want to watch that. That's must-see TV.
Yeah.
If Mike Tyson is absolutely in his 50s.
Not going to happen.
No, they're going to go out there like Mayweather does now. Mayweather did it with his brother, with Logan Paul.
Yeah.
They went out there and danced and they hugged and they, you know, they started making out in the middle of the ring and it was terrible.
To me, it seems like fighting to me is much more hyped up than it actually is because I really don't see people giving a huge fuck about this.
No, no one cares. It's a meme now. Boxing is a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boxing is a meme. The biggest boxers in the world are a bunch of Vine stars.
But it seems to draw a huge live audience, which seems to hype up the event itself. Mm-hmm. And then nobody gives a fuck about it.
Yes. Right.
Is part of this because like MMA?
Yeah, I think so.
Taking over the scene?
Yes.
I think so. Definitely. UFC.
Yes. Yes. UFC is now the dominant thing, and boxing is, yeah.
But even UFC, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, you know, I'll be watching tonight. I'm a fairly big UFC guy.
Yeah, tonight? What's on tonight?
UFC 299. UFC 299?
Who cares?
I'm getting the pay-per-view.
It's $299. If you miss the first $298, can you just jump in now?
Some people recommend binging the first 298. I'm a big fan of the main card, the guy Sean O'Malley. I'm a big fan of him.
Who the fuck is that?
He's the bantamweight champ. I'm watching.
What the fuck is bantamweight?
It's a weight class, Rob, that you probably don't qualify for.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Dustin Poirier fighting tonight. I get into it.
Do you know all the weight classes in order?
You got the feather. You got your feather. Then you got bantam is next.
I hope it's fucking ironic. So like featherweight is the heaviest people.
Yeah, that would yeah. Because Dana White, irony is really his strength. I think then you got the middle. You got the
middleweight?
Yeah, the middleweight. It is middleweight. You got the
then you got the fourth one.
You got the light heavyweight. You got whatever. And then you got the heavy. That's the big one.
The heavy's the big one, guys.
The yellow one is the sun.
You know what I'm going to be watching tonight?
What?
Reruns of The Wheel from the UK.
You're into that show.
I love the fucking Wheel.
Oh, I forgot the welterweight. Do you get the welterweight?
Oh, the welterweight. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Oh, strawweight as well. Strawweight.
Oh my God. That's got to be feather above feather.
No, I did not realize. Okay, no, strawweight is the lightest. Then you got the flyweight. Then you got bantamweight. Then you got featherweight.
So a feather is more heavy than a fly.
Than a fly or a bantam.
What's
or
a bantam?
A straw.
Then you got lightweight.
No, no,
ahead
no,
of
no.
Featherweight.
No,
what?
No, no. What's a bantam?
I don't know. Then well, you got a welter.
We're not moving on from this.
It's a chicken. I knew what that. Yeah. It's a small fowl.
Are you saying
usually chicken or duck?
Was feather before bantam?
Feather is
after.
After bantam.
Okay, so a chicken is heavier than a feather.
Yep.
Or lighter than a feather.
Lighter than a feather.
Yeah. Chicken is lighter than a feather.
That's yes. The new what came first, the chicken or the egg. It's a real philosophical quandary.
It's a really straightforward.
If a feather's
quandary.
Lighter than a chicken, then where'd the chicken come from? You know? then you got the light. Yeah, you got light, welter, middle, light, heavy, heavy.
Light, heavy, heavy.
Yeah.
That's well, it's light, heavy.
Right.
Light, heavy is one.
Right.
And then the heavy, heavy. It's just called heavy.
It's just called heavy.
Light heavy. Heavyweight.
Do you guys call Budweiser Bud Heavy?
No.
No.
Some people call it Bud Heavy. Kind of like
I
that.
Call Nobody calls it Bud Heavy.
Garbage. That's what I call it.
I call this America. And in America, we don't drink that stuff.
By the
no,
way,
it's,
I,
that's
I,
not even why.
I
just don't
fucking,
drink bad beer.
I fucking love corporations, how like nakedly pandering they are. they go from the Bud Light controversy, they just go, all right, we're going full right wing now.
Yeah,
now it's all Dana White, Shane Gillis, fighting, you know, big tit boobs. And like they just went fully in the opposite direction. It's so funny to me that the geniuses in their headquarters get together, all right, how do we solve this problem?
Cowboys.
Yes. Pissing in the backyard.
Guns.
Get Sydney Sweeney on the line right now.
Somebody needs to get that can of beer that they made for Dylan Mulvaney.
Yes.
Because it's a $1 billion can of beer.
Oh, it's probably a big collector's item. You're right.
Oh, it's gotta be.
Did they sell those, or just, is she the only one that's got one?
My understanding was it was a one off printed can.
Wow. So it wasn't even anything.
No, it was also, my understanding is it was also a collection of these that they sent out to various people, not just Dylan Mulvaney. Like this went to a bunch of influencers.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg or whatever. Like everybody's getting one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just be like, please post this on your Instagram. Isn't it cool?
I wouldn't say Snoop Dogg level. I'm talking about yeah, Instagram influencers, but
sure. Yeah. Logan Paul's intern or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the whole controversy was really overblown.
Yeah,
obviously.
Oh, now they got Kid Rock involved. Oh my, they went far right. All
oh,
this
yeah.
is so funny. This is so good. Donald Trump endorses Bud Light. What the hell is going on here?
Donald Trump endorses Bud Light.
No, I think that was made up. Somebody made that up, I think.
Really?
Didn't they? I thought I heard that that was fake.
No, I think he...
You think it's fake news?
Yeah.
I think he said something like it's a good American company.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He said they should be given a second chance.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And yeah,
it's not an endorsement.
It's the official beer partner of the UFC now.
Yep.
Kid Rock is behind it. And yeah, they got Shane Gillis. Dude,
they are just throwing money at these people and companies.
Yeah. Right.
It's crazy.
It's so good. I mean, I love it. I just love the clown world we live in. It's so good that like everything is a culture war.
You want to hear something else clowny?
What?
If you're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on Sunday, April 28th, the Pittsburgh area naturalists are hosting a balls out bowling event where you can bowl in the nude.
The Pittsburgh Aryan Nationalists?
Area Naturalists.
Okay. Because I heard... I heard something different.
Oh, shit.
I heard Pittsburgh White Nationalist Nazi Group
area
was hosting a nude bowling event. That's what I
don't know. Naturalists.
I mean, it's I don't know. It's six of one, half dozen of the other, really. But
this event is for anyone over the age of 18, whether you're a seasoned pro or a beginner. This event is for everyone. Nudity is required.
Not even optional.
This event is for everyone.
With the exception that women can wear bottoms. Also, sexual activity is not permitted.
Women can wear bottoms, but men can't.
Correct.
Okay.
Those running the event say nudism does not equal consent and harassment will not be taken lightly. Violators will be asked to leave. No photography or video is allowed, and the event is a ticket event.
So that's a very strange event with a very strange set of requirements.
Isn't it?
Not once did you mention under 18 are not allowed.
No, he did. He said 18.
No, I did. The event is for anyone over the age of 18.
Yeah, sorry, I heard... open to everyone, and I got alarmed. So
you are just hearing a different set of words today.
What if it's like a grown woman with a baby brain? Could they come in?
Sounds like, yeah.
Okay, that's allowed.
Who's keeping score for this event? Because that is the worst fucking job in the world. You have the worst view of anyone.
You gotta sit at the table.
You gotta sit at the table.
You're totally right. Bowling is not the most flattering.
No.
All these men have to like bend over.
Fuck it.
You're jostling. You're rubbing the ball down like Big Lebowski.
If people are not wearing bottoms, you have to bend over to roll this ball, and everybody's standing behind you.
You get a wink and then a strike.
Over the line.
Yeah, does the line extend up from the ground, or is it just a line on the
good
ground
point,
for the
good
foot?
Good point. Yeah. Because is it a... Yeah.
Because a boner could extend over the
sure could.
The line.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for explaining the joke, Rob. I think you could have left it there and it would have been funnier, but now that you explained it, we've ensured that nobody's left behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's the proper ball holding technique in that context?
Yeah. Ooh.
You know, do I need to put all three fingers in?
That's weird. Why would you go bowling naked? Nobody wants that.
Why would you go bowling?
The real question is, do you still have to wear the shoes?
Why would you go? I guess I gotta pay for the rental.
Yeah.
Why would you go bowling not naked? I guess that's my question. Why would you waste your time? Yeah. I think it's, maybe I'll go.
Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah. Do you guys anticipate that at any point in your life you will go to one of these nudist things?
I think something special happens. I think something special happens to a man when he turns 60.
Rob looked me dead in the eyes through the Jitsi call and was like, you want to know the real answer?
Yes.
I'm there. Rob's like, how do you think I got this email? I'm on a list, dude.
When Nick and I went to Key West in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of these nudist places. They were just like, you know, but they were like bars.
Wow.
It was just like, come on in.
Do they, what I don't understand is like, they must have a locker room.
I think the like, whole thing is a locker room though.
No, but where do you go from clothed to nude? Because I feel like it's really like a bad form to walk into a nudist bar with clothes on and then start stripping at the front door. I feel like that's like a faux pas in the nudist.
The guy at the front counter is like, aren't you forgetting something?
Right. But like, yeah, I need to know where's the designated stripping area
right.
in these facilities.
There's like a coat check, but it's all clothes.
There's a changing area. There's a locker area where you can rent a locker to fucking.
You think?
Yeah.
That must be why they do it at bowling alleys. It's like, yeah. They already got the locker room.
There's no locker room at a bowling alley.
Well,
there's no way they have lockers.
But yeah, I mean, people store their balls at the bowling
alley.
Yeah,
some bowling alley. Like, if you go to, like, a real competitive bowling alley, kind of, like...
Right.
You treat it like a sport, dude.
But are there guys, like, showering in there? Like, man, that was a tough round there. It was a tough roll.
I don't think they're showering.
They're doing the towel thing.
Yeah, right. I don't think there's any of that at a bowling alley.
Might be.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems weird to go fucking nude bowling.
I think, well, listen, you have your chance to finally live out your fantasy, apparently.
True.
Right? I mean, I think you should just go for it.
Just head to Pittsburgh on the 28th.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I want to go to nude places.
I'll check it out someday.
I'm not really interested in seeing what other nudists want to share. You know,
like,
what I'm
I've gone to onsens in Japan, so, like, I've... done that,
but that's like a spa. That's like a.
But it's like, yeah, it's like a giant bathtub.
Right, right.
But
that's weird. Yeah, that's even weirder than nude. Nudity, nude bowling.
It was weird, but you get over it pretty quickly. But I don't imagine I'd get over it pretty quickly if I'm holding a bowling ball.
So I was just watching one of the films nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars this year called Perfect Days. I'm not kidding you. It's set in Japan. And they had one of those bathhouses. There's a scene that takes place in one of those bathhouses. And it's a bunch of old men just walking in. And exactly what you described to me. You explained it when you went. They give you like a little washcloth. They don't give you like even like a big towel to wrap around. They just give you a washcloth. And you just dangle the washcloth over your junk to be like classy. And then you walk into the bath and you sit there.
I thought that's where you put the fucking streaks from your underwear. You just wipe, use that cloth.
No.
put some skid marks on it.
No, but you're supposed to bathe yourself before you get in the bathtub.
Yes, thing. They depicted that in this movie as well.
I see.
There's like a weird little sitting shower.
A shower. Yeah. Oh my God. Everything's the same. Yeah.
It's a sitting shower. So like there's either stools or like just a little raised or even sometimes like I've seen like a bucket that you sit on basically like
right.
an upside down bucket. And you completely clean yourself and then you go into the next room and then you sit in the hot tubs.
Wow.
Because some people go like that is their shower for the day.
Yep. Yeah.
People go like every day, like they go to the laundromat or something.
If you live close to one, you can get like a subscription and like a locker and you just, yeah, the whole thing. And you know, what's really common is, this is really common. And I don't know where it started exactly, but after you're done at the onsen, you go buy some milk and you drink milk.
Wow. That sounds lovely.
A lot of the onsens sell milk. That
sounds lovely. And they produce
fridges.
Their own too at times.
No. No. But yeah, it's like some weird like thing like, oh, it helps you recover from whatever, like from the dehydration or something.
Sure. No, it looked kind of grimy, but also kind of lovely. It was a weird combination of the two.
It's lovely, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay, nude bowling. We'll be doing that in Cincinnati.
This was a tight 30 today.
Yeah.
We're hoping for a nice little quickie with you, audience.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so long, we had to do something.
Right.
Yeah. But here we are, an hour 15 later.
Yeah.
All enjoy. Right.
Hi.
Not exactly a romantic departure from our quickie. This was like, this was rushed under the bleachers.
I just finished my cigarette, so it's, it's time for me to leave.
Your post-coital drag,
Check out our Discord.
Yeah.
Website's 2centsradio.com.
Sure
you can
is.
Click the Discord link there.
Yep.
I don't know. What else? How else can they get a hold of us?
Let us know about the eclipse if you haven't already, although I think we have a pretty good idea of who's coming.
Yeah, we do have a grasp, but we'll take anybody and anybody who can come.
That's right.
I'd love to have you.
I'm so excited, guys. And we've been talking about this for 2 years.
I know. I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped to get out of here. You guys have a great week. We'll hopefully catch you back next week.
Bye.